This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening, everyone. Shalom aleichem, bruchim abayim. We're continuing our shiurim on Sefer Shemayis Pashas Peshalach. The shiurim of 5786 are dedicated by Israeli family. Learn Nishmas Malka Bas Yosef, Began Eden Tehim Nuchasai. Shiurim on Sefer Shemayis are dedicated by Dr. Zakim Mishpachta, Lila Nishmas Vashom Eliezer Ben, Reb Yaakov Zaka, and Rivka Bas Tavi Alivi, Reb David Ben Reb Yaakov Tzvi HaKohen. If anybody would like to dedicate tonight's shiur, that is available. Okay, we have an amazing topic tonight. Firstly, make sure you have your Sefer on Shemois, Magen Rakia on Sefer Shemois. And it is now available in the United States of America. Birchas HaTzadik. You could get it with free delivery. You could go to our site, rabbidg.com, and you could order this with free delivery. That's F-R-E-E, free delivery. It's also available in Sfarim stores. And the Sefer on Rav Meir Balanes. Actually, we were zoicha to be there this past Sunday night at the Kever of Meir Balanes. And we brought him this new gift, Rav Meir in Yiddish. Okay, everyone, fasten your seatbelts. We have an amazing topic tonight. Vayehi b'shalach paroi es ha'am. And it was when Paro sent out the nation. And God did not want to guide them. Derech eretz plishtim. The road of the land of the Philistines. Ki karoifu, because it was close. Now that's odd. Usually when a route is close, you do take it. You don't avoid it. And here it says that Hashem did not want to take us to the land of the Philistines because it was close. Ki amar Elohim, pen yinachem ham, v'raisamachem ha, v'shavu mitzrayma. Because Hashem said the people may relent when they see war and they'll return to Egypt. So literally, the pasuk is saying that since the route to Eretz Yisrael through Eretz Plishtim was close, Hashem was hesitant. Hashem did not want them to enter Eretz Yisrael through that route, because when they see war, they may become frightened and head right back. Therefore, he took them in a circuitous route, because once they were on the road, there was no going back, there's no return. However, Tosfos has a different interpretation in the word ki karoifu, because it was close. It says Tosfos, Kaloimer ha'am karoif shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The nation was close to God. Not that the road was close to coming to Eretz Yisrael. We are close to Hashem. Shenemar, like the pasuk says, Livnei Yisrael, Am Karoivai. The Jewish people, his close and dear nation. Ulekach lohinhigam kemenhaga shalaylam. Therefore Hashem did not take them the typical way. So ki karoifu, according to the Das HaKanim, is not going on the road, it's going on the Jewish people, ki karefu. We were close to Hashem, and because we were close to Him, Hashem did not want to take us on that route, therefore He preferred to take us on an unusual route. He didn't want to deal with us the way He would typically deal with people. He wanted to deal with us in a unique way. Ki karev is the Jewish people are close to Hashem. But we want to explore the meaning of this, that because we were close to Hashem, therefore He didn't take us in the direct route. If we're so close with Him, He should have taken us straight in. Why is our closeness to Hashem a reason not that Hashem did not take us in the closer route? What exactly is this closeness that because of that Hashem did not want to take us on the straight path? Okay, so we're going to offer this evening a very unique interpretation of what Hashem was trying to accomplish with Kriyas Yamsuf. After all, we already had a pretty long-standing relationship with Hashem from the time of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu, by the way, yes, what's today? Wednesday? You know, yesterday I was in Hebron and I was walking on the path that Avraham Avinu walked on. I also davened in the Avraham Avinu shul. Listen to that clip, it's very interesting. In the Sefer Imek HaMelech, it's also brought in the Shem HaGdoilim, in a shul in Hebron that was built in 1540 by returnees from the Spanish Inquisition. They once only had 9 people, and they needed a center. And this is a shul, they didn't have a daily minyan. They only had a minyan on special occasions. And it was right before Yom Kippur. And they were hoping, you know, they would get minyanim every so often. So they figured for sure for Yom Kippur they would get a minyan. And it's every Yom Kippur, and they only have 9, and they're beside themselves. Is it possible they're not going to have a minyan for Yom Kippur? And it's any minute now Yom Kippur is coming, and they see in the distance an old man in a long white beard. And they say they flag him down, and he comes into the shul, and people don't know who he was, and he joined them for Yom Kippur. And when Yom Kippur was over, they started fighting, you know, who's going to bring this man back to their house for Havdalah? And they made a raffle, and it fell out on the Chazan, and the Chazan brings this man back to his house for Havdalah. And in the last moment, before he entered the house, he turns around, ve'einenu, he's gone. And this individual came to the Chazan in a dream, and he said, I'm Avraham Avinu. So I was in that shul. I davened in Avraham Avinu shul, you know. And the Chida asks, was it a kosher minyan? Because dead people, you can't be mitzvah of dead people to a minyan. Even though, and based on that, you for sure can't be mitzvah of people who have their phone on them to a minyan, because there's not much of a difference. In terms of their focus on the davening, they're basically pretty much just as focused as a dead guy. I mean, the dead guy might have a fighting chance to concentrate. The guy with the phone has no chance at all. Anyway, I just thought I might mention that. So the Chida brings from the Gemara in Ksubis that Rebbe would return every Friday night to make Kiddush. So Rebbe Kiva Eger on the side of the Gemara in Ksubis on Daf Kuf Gimel points out, how could Rebbe be moitzi his family in Kiddush, but Rebbe's dead? So the Sefer Chassidim, I think in note 1123, says that when tzaddikim come back to this world, they come back in their physical form with their clothing on, and in that sense, they don't come back as dead, they come back as alive. Okay, in any event, so we already have a long-standing relationship with Hashem from Avraham Avinu, and from Yitzchak, and from Yaakov. So it's already what we call Minag Avay Saini Biyadaini, you know, we already have a long history with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's usually a good thing. So in Parshas B'Shalach, when Paroi was approaching the Yam, Ufaroi Hikriv, Paroi was coming close. By Yesu. V'nei Yisrael aseinehem, V'nei Yisrael lifted their eyes, V'hinei Mitzrayim, and the either Egypt or the angel of Egypt, Noisei achareihem, V'yireu me'oy, they were very afraid, V'yitzaku, V'nei Yisrael el Hashem, the V'nei Yisrael cried out to God. So, if we would read those words, they cried out to God, that's always a good thing to cry out to God. You know, when you're in a trouble, you should always cry out to God. Rashi says, Tafsu umanus avoisam. They grabbed the profession of their forefathers. By Avraham huaymer el hamakom asher amad sham. By Avraham, it says, to the place that he stood. By Yitzchak, lasuach basada. By Yitzchak, it says, to pray in the field. By Yaakov, vayifka b'makom. Now you ask most people, what's Rashi saying with the words, they grabbed the profession of their forefathers? I think we would have all instinctively understood Rashi that it's a compliment. The Jews are in a bind. They don't know what to do. So what do? They did what their forefathers do. What does a Jew do when he's in distress? He follows in the custom of his forefathers. And just like the Avos HaKadoshim daven, we davened. We would think Rashi's saying something complimentary. However, if you look in the Sefer Amar Nekei, Amar Nekei is the commentary on Chumash of the Bar Tanura. The Amar Nekei says, what is Rashi teaching us? Like, what was bothering Rashi that Rashi says they grabbed the profession of their forefathers? Rashi only comments if There's a problem. What's the problem in the pasuk that Rashi is coming to explain? Is there a difficulty in this pasuk that Rashi is addressing? You know, what's troubling Rashi when he says tafsu umanus avoisam? And the Bartanur says something fantastic, because this can't be complimentary. In the next pasuk, they come to Moshe. Hamibali ein kvarim b'mitzrayim. Moshe, why are you taking us to the Midbar? There are not enough graves in Egypt. That implies that they're complaining. Furthermore, it says in Tehillim, Vayamru al yam b'yamsuf, that the Jews complained at the Yamsuf. Therefore, Rashi interprets that when the pasuk says they cried out to Hashem, the pasuk is not praising Klal Yisrael. It's disparaging Klal Yisrael. That when they cried out, they didn't cry out B'lev Shalem. What did they do? They just did Minagav Eisayni B'yadayni. They're just doing what their forefathers did. Rashi, in the name of Chazal, is criticizing Bnei Yisrael. And you know where Rashi derived this from? There's an extra word in the pasuk. Vayitzaku Bnei Yisrael El Hashem. You know what the extra word is? Vayitzaku Bnei Yisrael. The words Bnei Yisrael. Really? The Bnei Yisrael cried out to Hashem? We thought it's the North Koreans. So thank you for clarifying that issue, that it was the Bnei Yisrael who cried out to Hashem, and it's not some other nation. I mean, we got that. The noun was already said in the beginning of the pasuk. It already said in the beginning of the pasuk, Vayitzu Bnei Yisrael say Neyem, V'nei Mitzrayim Noisei Achrem. It already said, the Bnei Yisrael lifted up their eyes. So why does it have to say, Vayitzaku Bnei Yisrael al Hashem? Of course it was the Bnei Yisrael. The answer is, the pasuk is telling us and describing how they cried out. You know how they cried out? They cried out as Bnei Yisrael. They only did it because it's their custom. Because they went to the store on Friday to buy their challi rolls. Whether they keep Shabbos or not, we're not sure. But they got their challi rolls. Because that's minog aviseinu b'yadeinu. And they're having pastrami on rye. The fact that it's not kosher pastrami, but it's minog aviseinu b'yadeinu. That's Rashi is criticizing Klal Yisrael. Otherwise, what's bothering Rashi? The pasuk says they cried out to Hashem. Does anything need further elaboration? Who asked Rashi to comment here? That the answer is Rashi's troubled, because if this is complimenting the Bnei Yisrael, but we know they rebelled, in the next pasuk they complain, are there not enough kvarim in Mitzrayim? So Rashi is alerted to this interpretation based on the extra words Bnei Yisrael. Even though, in other words, what Rashi is saying is they only cried out because they were following in the minhag of their forefathers. Even though Rashi says later on that it was kedai, the merit of their forefathers, and their emuna, that they had emuna in Hashem, it's not referring to their emuna at the Yamsuf, it's referring to the emuna they had when they left Mitzrayim. By the way, the Maharal also says that when Rashi says tafsu umanus avoisam, it's coming to say, don't say they cried out like tzaddikim cry out. Because, in other words, how does Rashi know they only did it because they're following in the ways of the forefathers? Maybe they did it righteously. Don't tzaddikim cry out, but it's sarah? No, because they said toiv lanu avoidus mitzrayim. Rather, they were just following the profession of their forefathers, something that's minag avoisam, a person follows it, even if he doesn't do it with full kavana. Like the Maral says, they're goyim in chutz la'aretz. Right? The Gemara says that the goyim of chutz la'aretz, they're not really that frum. They don't really serve idols. It's only minag avoisenu b'yadenu. Okay? So, something that a person does as a minag, you don't do b'chol libay. Things that a person does, because that's what my father does, you don't do wholeheartedly. You're just following what was done, but it's not you, it's something you're copying. So Rashi, as interpreted by the Bartanur and the Maral, is learning that when the pasuk says, Vayitzaku v'nei Yisrael al Hashem, it doesn't mean they cried out wholeheartedly, they cried out just as instinctively, because this is what Jews do. Now, I would like just to add maybe a small insight into this. Rashi doesn't just say Tafsu Umanos Avaisam. Rashi describes what practice the Avos had that the Bnei Yisrael were copying. Rashi says, oh, like Avram Avinu, he davened Shachris, like the Pasuk says, Asher Amad Sham. That's the Pasuk that we learn out that Avram Avinu davened Shachris. Yitzchak davened Mincha, like it says, Lasuach Basada. Yaakov davened Mariv, like it says, Vayivka B'makim. Now, it's interesting. The tefillos that Rashi's saying that Klal Yisrael were copying were the standard tefillos of the day that Avram Avinu enacted Shachris and Yitzchak enacted Mincha and Yaakov enacted Mariv. Rashi could have said, you know, the Bnei Yisrael were in a bind, so they cried out to Hashem like Yaakov Avinu cried out when he was in danger from Esav. Rashi doesn't say that. The psukim that Rashi invokes were the standard practices of the Avos, which perhaps indicates Klal Yisrael were just making sure they were able to check off the box. Oh, you know, that's what the Avos did. The Avos davened every day Shachris Mincha Maariv, so we're going to daven now because that's what they did. In other words, it was not wholeheartedly. It was not out of desperation. It was out of just the regular, typical practice of what Jews do. Okay? So this brings to our attention an important aspect of the level the Bnei Yisrael were on as they're leaving Mitzrayim. What level were they on? They were culturally Jewish. They were culturally Jewish. They made sure, before Shabbos started, to eat a lot of potato kugel and a lot of cholent, because that's what Jews do. What do you mean that's what Jews do? But you have to eat the suda with appetite. No. I remember in the Altahaim that this is what they did. And they made sure that Shabbos morning they had a very good kiddush. And I'm not going to get into further details right now. I'm too tired. But if I wasn't, I would get into further detail. But they were culturally Jewish. But they were not fully, meaningfully Jewish. Okay? So let's keep that in mind. In Tanakh, we have two terms. We have a term, rachayk, and we have a term, karayv. We would, like it says in Yeshaya, Shemu rechaykim asher asisi udu krayvim gvurasi. You have rechaykim and you have krayvim. We would typically translate rechaykim as people far from Hashem. Krayvim are people close to Hashem. However, Rashi in Yeshaya says, rechaykim are maminim bi v'oisim ratzoini minu urehem. Rechaykim are those who believe in me and they've been doing my will from their youth. What are they called? Far. They're called far. They're from, FFBs. They're from birth. What are FFBs called? They're called far. FFBs, the Navi says, are far from Hashem. Now, a more palatable way of understanding that is they're far because they've been serving Hashem for a very long time. So they've been doing it from far away, meaning for forever. It doesn't mean they're far from Hashem. It means that, you know, we can't even look back and see how long they've been serving Hashem. But a not so flattering way to understand this is that those who are from birth serving Hashem from their youth are far from Hashem because they're doing it out of rote. You know, sometimes we do things because this is what our parents did. It's minhag avoseinu biyadayni. And sometimes the minhag avoseinu is, it's our minhag. Maybe when we started, we were passionate about it, but now we're just basically imitating ourselves. You know, Rav Shimshon Pinkas says that when we daven on Rosh Hashanah, we should be a head and not a tail. He interprets it, don't be a tail of yourself. There are a lot of things we did when we started. We did it in a meaningful way. We did it passionately. And now we're just basically trailing. We're trailing ourselves. You always want to be a Rosh. You always want, what we do, we want to, it should be with a conscious energy and focus. But here the Navi's calling an FFB, far. Who are the Krovim? Who are the close people? Balei Tshuva. Balei Tshuva are called close. Sheneskarvu Eilai Mechadash. They came close to me from anew. Everybody knows, if you see a guy davening in shul with the real kavana, you start suspecting them. Are they a Baal Tshuva or something? You know? What's wrong with them that they're having so much... What's wrong with them that they're actually davening in a meaningful way? But that's what the Navi seems to be saying, that people who have been serving Hashem from their youth, in a sense, they're far from Hashem. Why? Be piv kibduni, they honor me with their mouth, but v'libay rachik mimeni, their heart is far from me. So people who are serving Hashem from their youth, their heart is very far from Hashem, as opposed to those who come to Hashem later in life or at an advanced age. They're close to Hashem because they came to it not because they were brought up that way. They came to it with an intellectual decision. They came to it when they were mature in life, and they're much closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so that's another piece of the puzzle over here. The word karayv means to serve Hashem as of recently, not from the way you were brought up. And therefore, we're going to come back to the words, ki karayv hu, perhaps the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted us to be ki karayv hu. What he wanted out of us was that we shouldn't just be serving him minhag avoseinu biyadeinu, but we should reach a higher level, and that's the level of shimu rechaykim ashazizu du'u kroivim gvorasi, kroivim arbali teshuva. Now, let's come to another important part of the Shira. Aziv zimras ka vayihili lishua zeh keli v'yan ve'yu elai ke'avihi v'aroimim enhu. This is my God, and I will glorify him, the God of my fathers, and I will elevate him. Rashi says, Zekeli, b'chvoidai nigla aleihem, in his honor he revealed himself to them. Vayumarim oisoi be'etzma, they pointed to him with their finger. Zekeli, ra'asa shivcha al hayam, mashaloi ra'u nevi'im. A maidservant saw at the sea what the prophets didn't see. In some editions of Chazal, it says, Ra'asa shivcha l'yam ma'ashalei ra'u Yechezkel ben Buzi. Okay? That a shivcha saw at the yam what Yechezkel didn't see. Where did Chazal get that from? How do Chazal see in this pasuk that a shivcha saw at the yam what Nevi'im didn't see? You see anything about a maidservant in this pasuk? Show me, does it say anything about a cleaning lady in this pasuk? Ze aziv izimraska v'ayilit lishua. Maybe because since we're getting all excited, you know, Jews get excited when they hear that a cleaning lady is available. Ze keli. But it doesn't say anything about cleaning ladies in this pasuk. Where did Chazal pull out a cleaning lady in this pasuk? That's an unusual interpretation. From where do Chazal derive that a cleaning lady saw what the Nevi'im didn't see? Says the Vilna Gaon, we hold a ger brings Bikurim, but he doesn't read the Parsha Bikurim. Why? Because he can't say that you gave to our forefathers. Also an Eved and a Shivcha does not read the Parsha Bikurim because they can't say La Voisenu. So says the Gra, question, what do you mean, Ze Keli, this is my God, and then Eloi Ke'avi, the God of my forefathers. Aren't you supposed to say Eloi Ke'nu? Aren't you supposed to say first Eloi Ke'aviseinu? Why do we first say Keli and then Eloi Ke'avi? Why don't we say Eloi Ke'avi and then Ze Keli? Must be the beginning of the pasuk, Zekeli, is referring to those who can't say Eloi Ke'avi. Who can't say the God of my forefathers? Cleaning lady. Her fathers didn't believe in God. So Zekeli is the Shivcha. Eloi Ke'avi is the rest of Klal Yisrael. But wait a second. The cleaning lady said, Zekeli, they pointed with a finger. The rest of Klal Yisrael, now, other Nevi'im were never able to say Zeh. Other Nevi'im prophesied with the word Kai. Kai means This is basically what God says. Zeh implies this is exactly what Hashem is. So the words Zeh Keli is going on the Shivcha. That means the Shivcha said, Zeh, this, Zeh Keli, this is my God. But other Nevi'im weren't able to prophesy with Zeh. This shows that Ra sa Shivcha alayam, ma shaloi ra, Yecheskel ben Buzi, in the Hakdama to the Tshuvos of Reb Chaim V'lozhiner, he brings something astounding from Rabban Shel Kovnei Agoila, Reb Chaim V'lozhiner, on this Mechilta, Zeh Keli V'Anveyu, that the Mechilta says a little differently than Rashi, Ra sa Shivcha alayam, ma shaloi ra, Yecheskel, and the other Nevi'im. So how do they learn this? So Reb Chaim V'lozhiner points out, usually by the other Nevi'im, it says, Biyad HaNevi'im Adame. The other Nevi'im saw Hashem generally. Or it says, Niftechu HaShamayim Be'era Maroi Salekim. It's mashma that the Nevi'im only saw general visions. And yet here at the Yam, it says, Zeh Keli, this is my God. That implies they saw Hashem's presence in its fullness, b'shleimus. Where did Chazal get this from? Why couldn't Chazal, in other words, maybe Zeh Keli was said by the Jewish people. How do you know Zeh Keli was said by the Shivcha? From where do Chazal derive that the word Zeh Keli was said by the Shivcha? So, the way Reb Chaim V'lozhiner asks that is, v'chi k'uruhu loymar, is it disgusting to say that the Jews of proper lineage were the ones who said Zeh Keli? So the Vilna Gaon said as follows. The fact that it first says Zeh Keli, and then it says Elokei Avi, if Klal Yisrael were the ones who said Zeh Keli, it should have first said Elokei Avi, because the Avos were the ones who recognized Hashem. And then, in other words, our Emunah first comes from the fact that we have a tradition from our forefathers, and it also comes from our own understanding. The fact that it first says Zeh Keli, the Vilna Gaon said, and Reb Chaim V'lozhiner says a little differently than the way it's brought in the Kol Elyo, Zeh Keli is going on the Erev Rav, who came out of Mitzrayim with them, who were Gerim, and those of good Yichus of Klal Yisrael were the ones who said, Elokei Avi Va'aroi Mimenu. Okay, in any event, based on the way we're presenting the objective of Kriyas Yamsuf, namely, Ki Karayv Hu. Hashem had a nation. He had a wondrous nation. However, at this point in time, their level of service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu was what we call Rachaik. They believed in Hashem. They served Hashem. Why? Because they were B'nai Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. It was a tradition they had. It was what we call cultural Judaism. So they come to the Yamsuf, and they did, like a good Frumah Yid. They davened. But if we were to probe their hearts and try to discover why did they daven, so the way the Maral and the way the Bar Tinur understands Rashi, they davened because they remember there's something called Shachris Mincha Marav. It wasn't something that emanated from their own heart, their own inspiration, their own recognition. It was just mimicking what Jews do. And Hashem didn't want that. Hashem wanted Ki Karayv Hu. So the way we're understanding the Pasuk, Hashem didn't take them straight into Eretz Yisrael because Ki Karayv Hu, He wants them to be Karayv. He wants them to be, He doesn't want them to be FFBs. God wants FFBs to be BTs. So the fact that your great-grandmother ate pecha in Hungary, or your grandfather ate at a kiddush in the Alta Haim, that's very good. Maybe one day you'll be able to reach the Madrega where you build upon that and you come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through your own understanding and your own inspiration. And according to this, maybe the reason why it first says Elokei Zekeli Ve'anveyu and only after that Elokei Avi is because that was the entire objective of Kriyas Yamsuf. The objective was for them to reach a higher level of than Elokei Avi. The objective of Kriyas Yamsuf is that every Jew should say, Zeh Keli. Yes, we all believe in Hashem because Elokei Avi, but it's a higher level to stand upon, to stand on the shoulders of like, hey, Avi, and reach the Madrega where we could each say on our own, Zeh Keli, yes, we always have the safety net. We always have the security. It's our foundation. Our foundation is always like, hey, Avi. But that's not what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants. What he wanted is Ki Karoifu. He wanted us to be Balei Teshuva, who've come close to him as of recent. And it's very nice you were inspired during Elul. Yeah, you're Rachaik. You're inspired on Rosh Hashanah, you're Rachaik. You're inspired yesterday? Don't be a yesterday. Today, every day we should be a Baal Tshuva. Every day we should be Karayv. If everything we're doing today is because of yesterday, we're Rachaik from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like it says in Yeshaya, this is what we referred to before. Look at number 13. Vayomer Hashem. Vayomer Hashem. Yan ki nigash ha'amaze pipiv uvisvasav kibduni velibay richak mimeni fati hirasam oisi mitzvas anoshim melumada. Hashem says, I don't want your fear of me to be trained, to be just habitual, customary, cultural Judaism. No, the objective of Kriyas Yamsuf was to break free from the shackles of cultural Judaism. And that's a challenge in our times, because in a certain sense, if there ever was a generation that's guilty of being rachaik, it's the generation that's most rachaik from Har Sinai and from the Avais. Because basically, you know, we're keeping it going. We're keeping it going. But our responsibility is not to be tafsu umanus avoisam, not to daven because I saw that that's what the Tata did. That's what the Tata did. Your Judaism can't be that's what the Tata did. That's the foundation. That's the beginning. But that can't be the engine of our avodas Hashem. As the Gemara in Brachos says, b'makom shebalei tshuva oimdin, tzadikim gemurim einam oimdin. And the Ribbono Shel Olam's goal with Kriyas Yamsuf is Ki Karoifu. He wanted to upgrade us from Rachaik, from those who serve Hashem Minu Reyem, to Karoif. Klal Yisrael, before the Yam, they were criticized. Vayitzaku, Rashi says, Tafsu Umanos Avoisam. But ultimately at the Shira, Hashem was able to elevate us and propel us and catapult us to a much greater level. And that level is, before we said Elekei Avi, we said Zekeli. We reached the Madrega of Karoiv. Ki Karoiv Hu. Rabbi Isai, have a great night. Bracha Batzlacha. Shaltov.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.